An Italian year had passed since Firebird's first brush with the distant, powerful Federacy. But the phase inducer here bypasses the third subset of... Firebird dropped her hand into her lap, unable to concentrate. She leaned away from the table and gazed up at a crystal chandelier that lit the palace's private breakfast hall, and she let her mind wander far from the Academy scanbook that glowed on her viewer. In a week, she must be able to reproduce that schematic for a senior-level exam. But tonight, she would appear for an interview with the Queen. In the year since she'd been caught spying, the Nitean Planetary Navy had carried out those rumored maneuvers in Federate space, drawing a strenuous protest. Her mother's electors had tightened their grip on both high and low common classes. Carity's little daughter had charmed the palace household, and Fina burst through a swinging door. "You nearly got yourself taken to see Captain Freel again last night," she chanted to Firebird. Fina hadn't changed a hair. Firebird watched over her empty breakfast plate as her middle sister paced the table's length. "I can't believe you'd be so stupid." Fina seized a chair across from Firebird and rang for service. Her spring gown shone by morning light, and when Firebird glanced from Fina's sparkling earrings and necklace up to the chandelier, she couldn't help comparing. As an Academy senior of noble family, Firebird had been allowed to move back to the estate for her final semester. It wasn't far from campus, and this was still her home. For a few last weeks.
"Countervoting the whole electorate?" Fina went on. "With a unanimity order? What's the matter with you? Have you forgotten your place?"
This year, Firebird also had learned that her music, she played the high-headed Nitean small harp, or clarza, was a passport into the common classes. In quarters of Sant'Angelo that Fina never visited, she'd heard ballads that should make any lector nervous. After 300 years, Natea was beginning to chafe under the electorate's absolute rule and its grip on the planet's wealth. Firebird faced her sister squarely. "You know what I think about your Basium project. If I had to do it again, I'd still vote my conscience. You're not expanding our buffer zone. You only want a threat, a show of power."
"So you said,"
Fina buffed her nails on the sleeve of her gown.
"We heard you clearly yesterday."
Firebird laid her palms on the scanbook viewer.
"You got your recommendation, didn't you? 26-1. "One."
Fina lifted an eyebrow.
"In your position, I think I'd be trying to live a while. You're lucky the Red Jackets haven't already wasted you. Wastelings who countervote don't last. You're only in there for show, you know. For your honor," she mocked.
Firebird curled her fingers around her viewer.
"There's no honor," she mimicked Fina's tone. "In threatening worlds that would rather trade with us than attack us."
Fina's project was secret, and no commoner knew of it. Still, Firebird had used her vote to express her people's earnestly sung longings to live in free, fair peace.
"You never should have had electing rights to begin with," Fina retorted.
The door swung beyond Fina. Firebird fell silent, toying with her Kruin cup. Carity pushed through. A servitor-class attendant followed the tallest and eldest Angelo sister. A deep green robe draped Carity's form, now swollen with a second pregnancy.
Firebird's life expectancy had almost zeroed.
"Carrie,"
Firebird murmured, as the crown princess sank into a cushioned chair held by the servant.
"You look exhausted."
Carity sighed and splayed her fingers on her belly. "With the little ones dancing all night, it's a wonder I sleep at all. And I'm so worried for you, Firebird. Why must you try so hard to throw away the time that's left to you?"
Fina leaned back and fixed Firebird with dark eyes.